Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin. We have got some professional models out here, my co-host James, and our special guest, Alan Heights. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, so one of the standout scenes in season three of I Think You Should Leave, as Alan drives Tim Meadows' character to borderline insanity. We like to start at the top. How did you end up auditioning and being cast for the role?
Through a self-tape. I've auditioned for the show like 4 times.
Oh, wow.
And one was in season 2, which was during lockdown, I think, something like that. But I there was no way I was going to get it because it was for a business meeting type thing, and I had to play a business guy, and I did not. I had lockdown hair, and I had the full ZZ Top beard, and it's just, there's no way. So I was like, I was like looking at the tape the other day, and I was like, oh yeah, there's no way. Here I am with that suit and tie, and then I'm just a bunch of hair. So like, there's no way. But then season 3, I auditioned for it, yeah, like 3 times. And I think one other sketch aired, but I don't really remember what that was. And one I know was cut. But the one I auditioned for that I got, the character's name was Alan. And I was like, well, I better get this part. So
yeah, I saw that in the in the credits, and was curious whether that was a coincidence or if it was like a situation where the character didn't have a name and was given your name.
Yeah, pure coincidence. I read for the part of Alan. He was named Alan.
Yeah.
Way a long time ago. So
it's the part you were born to play.
Yeah, I was born to play this man who does the loser dance.
And do you know at any point before shooting that you'll be acting alongside Tim Meadows?
Here's another thing about that. Like, of course, I get the sides. I didn't get the whole scene. So I had no idea what was going on. I just knew that they're like, this is a set at a photo booth. And basically I auditioned my part with where I'm walking off and that part. So I didn't know anything about the Barney and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about that. So when I'm doing the audition, it says Tim in the sides. So I'm like, it says Tim and Alan. So I'm thinking, well, oh, it's Tim. I'm working with Tim. So the whole time I'm like thinking, or when I'm doing the audition and everything, that's with Tim. And I book the part, and then I get there, and I'm like sitting there going, I met Tim, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And he's got headphones around, you know, and I'm like, he doesn't look like he's ready to go, you know. He looks like he's gonna go to the village, the video village, and hang out. And I'm sitting there, and then I see Tim Meadows, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Tim Meadows, look at that, that's amazing. And then I thought, oh, what part is he playing in this scene? And then eventually I was like, he's the guy I'm. Oh, and then all the anxiety came in because this guy's like one of my heroes. You know, he worked with Farley. He's ladies' man. He's like, you know, he's one of the staples of SNL, and I loved SNL in the 90s and 2000s, and just the chance to kind of act with him was great.
And you guys have a real back and forth in the scene. like we don't see too much on the show.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like it's just Tim Meadows, the whole thing. And when it was just great back and forth. And yeah, it's awesome.
The back and forth and in particular, it feels like there's kind of a whole unspoken backstory, or like, you know, going on. It's like we're dropped into this snippet of these people's lives, and watching it, I was wondering if either there was like more extensive dialogue that kind of was condensed down to just what ended up in the sketch, or even if there was any kind of like, you know, like background information that Tim or other writers had in mind about it that they informed you of or anything, or if you're just kind of left making that up.
I was pretty much there was a little bit at the beginning of when I walk off, but that was already cut. But in my audition, it was there.
Okay.
And that was because how I come in and I'm just so angry and I'm like at a 10 right off the bat.
Right.
And there's nowhere to go from there. You just have to keep it that level and keep going. But in the audition, I was able to kind of build up to that 10. Mm. And he was like, there was a little couple lines where he was like saying, he's like, why didn't you do something here? And he's like, well, I was already silly. I was already being silly. And then, like, I crossed my eyes and I put my tongue out, and then I show and do it. And then finally he says, and then I go to relax. But in the thing, they just went right to the top. Yeah. And it just elevated everything so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of actors have the experience that there'll be a cut that they weren't exactly expecting, and then they see it and they're like, oh yeah, okay, like that kind of makes sense. I was really curious, like, when you read a script from that, like how the script describes the dancing you're going to be doing. How vague is it? And
the dance was way naughtier than what was originally. We had to have it changed. They changed it right there. Cause in my audition, I was dry humping. I was doing all sorts of stuff. And then doing the loser thing. And then I was doing it there because I was like, well, nobody said anything. So I'm just dry humping and doing all that stuff. And they're like, hey, can you do a little different with your back and forth and da da da? Oh yeah. Yeah. No problem. So.
So was the dry humping like your own invention, or was that okay?
Yeah, it was totally. Yeah. They didn't really say much on what to do with it. They just said it was like he does a funny dance, and then he holds the loser symbol on his forehead. So I was like, oh, all right. So I was doing very disgusting things in the audition. So I guess that worked. So.
Yeah, it's funny. They didn't cast you for the dance move you could do. They just knew you were the dancer they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a testament to your acting. You mentioned sort of like that brief cut they had in the interplay. Was there anything else you remember being cut? We hear a lot of times.
No, it was pretty much everything was there. Like I said, when I got the I didn't really get the full script until pretty much. Well, when I booked it, they gave me the full script. This is a year ago, so I can't really remember too much. But they give you the full script, and that's how I learned like the Barney stuff and all that. But everything that I did was pretty much the same. It was just that part that that was cut out.
And you, was Tim there? Tim Robinson there as director? Do you know if he was directing or was someone else directing?
Andrew Fitzgerald. So,
all right, James, you've been very patient. Drop some of your deep questions.
Yeah, well,
what's the Pelling ball?
Well, yeah, I guess, well, I was gonna ask, you know, so you're, from what we've heard of most sketches and scripts, that they keep pretty tight to the script as written for everyone. But when you have someone like Tim Meadows who's in a sketch, we always ask whether there's any kind of leeway given to someone like that who's, you know, pretty well known and experienced in like the sketch comedy world. Was there anything that he did that sort of had a little bit more leeway or like improvisational stuff, or is he fully on script?
He was, he knew, he's Tim Meadows. So he knows exactly what he's doing. And, he did exactly what was needed to do. And, the throwing up, it was pretty awesome. And he came in, did his job, and you know, left.
Now, okay, the throw up, I've kind of always wondered for things like that where they actually have the clip of, you know, him doubling over and a little bit coming out of his mouth. Is that just like he has a little cup of fake throw up that he puts back and then
like,
just kind of
like
spits
oatmeal
out?
It's okay. Like oatmeal, so you know, you just kind of gulp it down and
I'm not gonna lie, I thought that was a pretty good puke take. I watched it really closely, and it's like better than it needed to be. And I was wondering, was that a one take thing?
God, I can't really remember.
I don't play. That's
it
very
was
reasonable.
He did it a couple times, but the you know, you also had to get it on the floor too, and get that shot of it's on the floor. So yeah,
really talented.
When you're in a photo and someone asks you to do something silly, what's your go-to move? Do you have one you can think of in 3 seconds normally?
I vomit. I just vomit.
Perfect. That's a classic.
Yeah. The feather thing that was that's funny.
Do you remember your first experience seeing the sketch when it came out?
Well, I didn't, I came out of there going, wow, what was that? You know, like I didn't like it. I loved it, but I don't know what's going on. You know, it's like, to me, it's like three different sketches in one. It's like you have the photo booth part, and then you have the argument part, and then you have the dance.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of like a Beatles song where you just have Paul writing this and John writing that, and then George Harrison's like, beep-a-doop-a-doo. But then they just kind of crammed it all together. So I didn't know what to make of it, really. And I eventually, when the trailer came out for the season, I saw the dance that I was dancing. It was like coming soon, and then I'm dancing in there, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm okay. Like, I guess I'm in there. So when it premiered, I took a look at it, and I was like, oh man, wow.
Now you said you'd auditioned for other parts. Had you like? Were you familiar with the show outside of auditioning for it, or?
Oh yeah. I watched a bunch of episodes of it. It you know, it reminded me of Mr. Show, and I loved Mr. Show. I love some of the sketches they do. It's just that I just laugh like crazy laugh. It's just great.
And I think you, you know, I say this like you don't look exactly like your character. Have you been sort of spotted out in the wild by fans of the show? I mean, we have some of the most rabid fans of the show.
I get it quite frequently.
Yeah, what do they do? Is there something they're always yelling, or is it just
They're
the...
no, they don't. No one yells or anything like that. Or
That's good.
there's that John Richter. They don't do that. But they, it's more like curiosity, just like, hey, they want to say something, but they're not sure. And then they're like, are you? Were you in? I think you should leave. And I'm like, yeah. And then they go, oh yeah, John Richter, like that. But they're always hesitant at first. So, like,
Yeah.
what happened? It happened the other day, and this guy was like, "Hey, can I take a picture with you?" I'm like, okay. So,
Amazing.
yeah, it's
James, what
pretty
else you
cool.
got?
Well, I was gonna transition to asking about some non I think you should leave things unless you have more questions about the sketch, Kevin.
No, I would love to hear what you got.
Well,
That's
yeah, my first question was, I mean, you have a pretty extensive, list of pretty popular things that you've appeared in. I'm wondering if I think you should leave fans have been, if that's been one of the things that you're more recognized by, or if any of your other past roles have been like, had more people stopping you, or anything than this.
I'm getting more, I guess, recognition from I Think You Should Leave than any one of the other ones, because I think it's so accessible. The other stuff, like, there'll be periods of time if I'm on a commercial or something like that that people will ask me that, but for the most part, it's, hey, that's that guy, or that's pretty much it. But I Think You Should Leave is like, the one where they people are approaching me and saying, hey, are you from I Think You Should Leave? So.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit of the type of fandom for I Think You Should Leave is a little bit people get very into it, and so I wouldn't be I'm it's not surprising to hear that there's like a lot of fans of the show who are happy and willing to kind of bring it up or mention it.
Well, also I'm in like bit parts in a bunch of other, like, I'm man number three on like some shows, and then and for this sketch I'm there back and forth with Tim Meadows, so you people, it's more recognizable than
Sure.
some guy saying, here's your paper. So
Now, we were just talking before the show, but I just recently also saw you in the movie Quiz Lady, which was very funny and entertaining, and you were also in that with some like pretty well-known names and SNL alum
Will Ferrell.
Will
Will
Ferrell.
Ferrell
Yeah, so
was great.
yeah, that can you tell us any about that and what it was like in that movie?
He's a wonderful man. He just is. He's so amazing. He's also like, he's SNL, and I filmed Quiz Lady over the summer of last year, and I filmed I Think You Should Leave like in a year ago, November of last year. And man, it was just like, okay, I go from Will Ferrell to Tim Meadows, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. So, because they just, yeah, it's Will Ferrell, and Jason Schwartzman was great. He was fantastic. He's a great guy, and Sandra Oh is great. Aquafina, it was just such a great experience.
And you also had a lot of appearances with another one of my favorite sort of SNL related people. I think you were on Conan's show
Oh
several times. What was that experience like?
I was great. I was one of the sketch performers on Conan. They would have me in a lot when there was a Lord of the Rings or a Hobbit movie, so I could play in a Hobbit,
Okay.
whatever sketch they had. And then, or if it's Christmas time, I always knew I could come in for some sort of elf work or whatever. There were so many sketches that they did that never made it, but I dress up as an elf or do whatever, and yeah. But it was great because you just go, like, the casting director would call me up and was like, hey, can you come on down here in like 20 minutes? Yeah, sure. Let me think about it, you know?
Yeah. I always sort of wondered, like, you know, having watched Conan for most of my life, what that experience was like for the sketch performers. It's like, just very, it's just like hard to imagine how that goes behind the scenes from a viewing standpoint.
Yeah, it's the casting director of Conan, he had just a whole file folder full of actors, and, you know, the ones that you liked, they kept coming back, and then the writers would like, you know, some actors too, and then they would write things for them, and yeah, it was great. It was a great experience. It was, yeah, fun time.
Awesome.
I think my first thing I ever did on Conan was they had us on a zip line.
Oh,
so we actually went to Wrightwood, California, and went on a zip line just to film these Conan things. And it was it was famous authors writing zip lines, and we had to ride the zip line. And they're like, "Have you ever ridden a zip line before?" I'm like, "No, but I'll do it, whatever." So we had to read from our book while we were doing the zip line, and that was so hard. But I'm like, yeah, that's my special skill on my resume now. So.
Yeah, I think you played Dean Koontz in that sketch.
Yeah, it was Dean Koontz. I was Dean Koontz reading, and you got to see some of the outtakes of it. It's great. I think it's on my YouTube channel. So.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
James, I am clear of questions, so the mic is all yours.
So in your several other appearances that you've had were in pretty well-known shows and also some of my favorite shows that I've watched in the past: New Girl, Veronica Mars, The Mindy Project, all, you know, great comedy series. And you know, there's several other shows in kind of that lane. And then you also recently had an appearance in the Ant-Man movie. And I'm wondering if there's like any, you know, there's, because Paul Rudd is like the main person in Ant-Man, and that series of movies is like a little bit more in the comedy realm compared to, because kind of his like style of acting than some of the other kind of Marvel movies. Is there like any kind of, in the production of that movie, are there people with more like the comedy background and crossover to like series that you've been in, comedy series that you've been in, or is that just a full Marvel production?
That's just a full Marvel thing. They really keep it a secret over there, and I don't, like, I didn't even know what I was doing that day. So, you know, I walk into a room and there's Michael Douglas. It's the same thing with the Tim Meadows thing. It's like, wow. I walk into a room and it's Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer and Paul Rudd. And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing today. All right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can't even imagine getting into the frame of acting when you have like that sort of shock walking into a room.
Yeah, it's like, it's just, it's one of the things they don't really, I guess, tell you as an actor if you're starting out. You know, of course there's like, you're with the main person that in there, but sometimes you come in and you have no idea what's going on, and then you have to be ready, and you know, sometimes you're really ready and sometimes you aren't. So, yeah.
That's why you're the pro.
Jeez. Yeah. Some days I am. Some days I'm like, whoa.
Oh, man. All right. James, are you exhausted? Or?
I guess just last question is, you know, you have a pretty impressive mustache. I'm wondering if you have any mustache tips for those about
I never grew the mustache until lockdown. I didn't even think of it or anything. I always knew I could grow one, but I never did. Or when I did, it was like Movember or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it never got as crazy and majestic as this one is. But, you know, I had the full beard during lockdown, and then I shaved it all off when we started going back into society. And then I booked I did a Grey's Anatomy, and I shaved everything off. And then after I did that, I was like, you know, I kind of want to change my character, how I am. And because most of my stuff that I was looking at my resume was mostly like Disney and the uncool dad, you kids better learn, and, you know, that type of stuff. And I thought, you know, if I just had the mustache, I wanted to do like Westerns and things like that. Mm. And more shady characters. Like, I don't know how much more shady you can get than a Flasher on New Girl, but, but I wanted to go for that. And so I was like, well, I'll just grow the mustache and see what happens. And then it just takes its own life. And sometimes I look at it and I go, like, I'm looking at it right now going, my God, it's like really big. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, trim it back a little. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
And James, just remember, cloth is hairs.
Yeah,
I don't know if that helps you at all with the mustache growing at all, but
yeah, it's good.
Lots of wax too. Lots of wax.
I feel targeted by James' question, but I think I learned something along the way.
It's just really long nose hair, really. Nothing impressive here. So.
All right. I think that feels like a good quote to go out on. That's great advice for life. And we want to sincerely thank you for being here, Alan. I literally have like your dance move burned into my brain right now after watching a lengthy GIF of it. So we want to thank you for your time tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sure it's very meme style. I'm sure that's a whole meme thing. Like, I follow the I think you should reel.
Oh yeah, yeah,
on Instagram.
Yeah.
I think you should reels. And yeah, when I saw that, when they started doing that sketch, and I was like, I made a comment like, hey, I know that guy, or and then another comment was like, and right, it just blew up from there. They're like, oh, that's that guy. And, so yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, you are, we're definitely a standout in season 3, and we want to thank you for coming through tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Very, very good.
Our pleasure.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.